Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in Union Edge. Right now, stick around for Mark Belanger and Radio Labor.
Hello, I'm Mark Belanger from Radio Labor, reporting for the Union Edge. This is a Radio Labor news update recorded on Thursday, October 30th, 2014. I'm Mark Belanger. The International Trade Union Confederation, the ITUC, has called for the formal recognition of the State of Palestine. The ITUC is the organization which represents national union centers at the world level. The call for recognition comes after Israel's announcement that it will build another 1,000 settlement dwellings in East Jerusalem and the occupied West Bank. Sharon Burrow, the general secretary of the ITUC, said in a statement that the Israeli government is treating the international community with contempt and trampling on the rights and livelihoods of Palestinians. She said governments around the world should respond by giving formal recognition to the state of Palestine and acting to stop any form of international involvement in building and sustaining the illegal settlements. At its International Congress held in Berlin last May, the ITUC adopted a policy which called for an end to the construction of illegal Israeli settlements, the removal of existing illegal settlements, the withdrawal of Israeli forces from all Palestinian lands, and the dismantling of the separation wall between Israel and the West Bank. An ITUC spokesperson told Radio Labor that the ITUC's demand that Palestine be recognized is in line with the growing international momentum for recognition. Just recently, Sweden announced that it will formally recognize Palestine. It joins a list of more than 100 countries that have recognized the Palestinian state. Israel's position is that the state of Palestine can only be established in negotiations between it and the Palestinian National Authority. As international labor organizations prepare for the G20 meeting of national leaders in Australia in November, the International Labor Organization, the ILO, has declared that many economies are on a downward spiral, especially when it comes to employment. The ILO is the specialized agency of the United Nations concerned with matters of work in the world. It is operated in a tripartite manner by representatives of governments, business groups, and labor unions. The ILO's Director General, Guy Ryder, is a labor unionist. The ILO is urging governments to tackle the problem of unemployment, especially youth unemployment. Sandra Pulaski is the ILO's Deputy Director General for Policy.
A major long-term structural problem is that what's called the labor share of GDP. So in global domestic product, in gross domestic product in countries, one of the many ways you can look at it is what share goes to owners of capital, so what's the return on investment, and what share goes to wages and salaries and benefits. And the labor share has been declining in almost all G20 countries, in some cases for 20, 30, even 40 years. Well, at the end of the day, if the labor share is declining, that's you and me and the 90% of the population that whose income is based on wages, salaries, and earnings at work. If that share is declining, you have profits, yes, but you're not going to have investment in productive capacity because you can't sell to those people whose share of your economy is declining. That's what we see in so many of the economies. No reason for complacency. Labor markets have not recovered. A big structural problem is the declining labor share, which is based on stagnant or declining wages and cutbacks in social protection, unemployment benefits, and so on. We are in a downward spiral right now, which is self-reinforcing. We need to break that spiral somewhere. We think you can do it in the labor market through minimum wages, through collective bargaining, through improvements in social protection. And then you have households spending more, and then the firms start to invest more, and basically government gets more tax revenue. They can pay down their debt without cutting services. You get on an upward spiral instead of what we're on right now, which is a downward spiral. That's our message.
In other news, the Global Union Federation Industrial is condemning the government of Turkey for allowing even more deaths in the country's mines. 18 workers are currently trapped in a mine and hopes for their escape are fading. 6 months after 300 mine workers were killed in Soma, the Turkish government has yet to move to improve mine safety. Unions in Morocco held a general strike yesterday, October 29th. The government is refusing to talk to the unions about issues such as wages, working conditions, and pensions, while utility and transport costs are increasing dramatically. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
Welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. And joining us from a Work in Progress Radio Community Action Teams is Buck Gino, brand new member of Twitter. That's Buck Gino number one. Buck,
yeah,
welcome back.
I must have been successful getting a Twitter account.
Yeah, I want to double check. It's Buck Gino. One, no number sign, no nothing. Just Buck Gino one, and I'm gonna make you my buddy. I'm gonna do it right now,
okay.
Because you know I'm thinking to myself, you know, Buck, you know, you were a plumber, pipe footer for how long?
Actually, I just went to my awards benefit last week, and I am now in my 38th year. But I was a member of the Laborers Local for 6 years prior to that, so I've been involved in the movement about 45 years.
So 45 years, okay, and you just got your first cell phone, right? No, I'm kidding.
Hey, I do have a new phone. I have a new iPhone. Yeah, I got that a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I got rid of the BlackBerry.
Many cheers coming from the iPhone fans here at the Union Edge studio. Matter of fact, they're doing fist pumps in the air, congratulations on that one. I am seriously looking you up right now, and let's see. I think is this you? No, that's not you. We'll find you. In any case, so what is going on in Michigan, man? Mark Schauer's up by what, two?
Well, you know, it's an interesting race. I know I've been listening to the show today, and everything's, you know, it seems like it's a broken record. We go through this year after year after year. It's all about turnout. It always is about turnout. And one of the things, the latest polls show, and I would guess, Charles, I've always said this is a dead even race. But I think the particulars that are interesting is that Mr. Schauer has moved up a great deal amongst independents. So it seems like all the 11 to 13% at the beginning of this race that were undecided are kind of shifting toward Mr. Schauer. Mr. Schauer has been able to keep up with the Kochs, and his ads are personal ads, and he comes and talks to the people. And I have not seen any ad of late where Mr. Snyder's face is even actually on the ad. I mean, he's not one of those people that likes the campaign. He's the real CEO that looks at everybody and says, look, you're going to do what I say, and it doesn't matter. He's finding out what really campaigning is about. And I think the telling number, Charles, and I've always said this along, in any poll, whether it's approval, disapproval, or poll of who's going to vote for who, Mr. Snyder has never made it out of the low to mid-40s. So his numbers are still upside down as to people, and you know, there's the 20% of the voting block in Michigan are seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, if you go on all the blogs and listen to all the stuff, there are a lot of people mad about this pension tax.
And rightfully so. And at the same time, there's the pension tax. You got a governor that can't even fill the potholes.
Right.
Much less. And you know, and this is going to have a lasting impact. You know, this is like training, okay? If you stop training, you can't just catch up by starting training again, okay? If you're in the military, you know this as well as I do. You lose muscle memory. You lose and it takes a long time to get that back up and running again. For instance, not taking care of your roads in the state of Michigan, okay? And you think I'm kidding. What, you know, folks think, oh, it's kind of funny that you're talking about the Fiat that's stuck in the bottom of the pothole. Let me tell you something. That damn thing was about 14 inches deep, okay? I'm serious. It was really bad. And there comes a point in time, Buck, when it's no longer you can come out and patch it, okay?
Right.
There comes a point in time And this is what the national engineers are talking about. There comes a point in time where you have to go back down to the roadbed to rebuild the roadbed so you can lay a road on top of it. And that's what you guys are getting ready to get into. And one or two more bad winters, and nobody's going to be driving in Michigan unless you get a four-wheel drive.
And that is true, I think. And that in itself, just look at yourself if you were driving into Michigan or anywhere going from an airport and you were thinking about bringing your business to Michigan. And, you know, that's what we always, they told us that right to work was going to be the save-all, end-all, along with the tax cut for all the businesses. But just think of that. If you're here on a visit to decide whether you're going to move your business here, and your car basically blows out of shock hitting in a pothole, and you look at the schools and you see the class sizes and you see the cuts to education and you see all that's going on, and you're thinking, nah, I don't think so. Because what, you know, the thing that draws businesses to a state that doesn't make a difference about, I would argue, right to work, it's good schools, good hospitals, good roads, and good solid training and a trained workforce, period. Mm-hmm. And this guy has not done any of this. He has not put any money toward that. He's decided he's going to give all the money to the businesses and whoever his cronies are, and that's why he should be disqualified. And that's why, and to answer your question, for the first time that I can remember a long time, I got a piece of mail that was in it. It was pretty thick, and I opened it up, and it was a letter from the Democratic Party, which I am a member. And it had in it, it had probably 15 to 20 flyers, and it's a good flyer. And it also had a names of about 20 targeted voters in my township.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down that list, and it was absolutely right. These were people that didn't vote in the last midterm election. And it's been my job to make sure that these 20 people go out and vote, and I'm doing pretty well with that.
Yeah, there you go.
Like I said, that's what I'm saying. This is the difference that I've never seen this in Michigan before. Like I said, this, and you know, I bet I get a phone call a day from AFSCME to my local union and the AFL-CIO. This is a little bit different. I think they understand that the stakes are a lot higher. Like I said, this is a dead even election, and like you, all your participants have said, and you've said all day, it's all about whether we get out and vote.
Right. And, you know, it was like I was talking with Frank, and we got about a minute here, so Look, if you are satisfied with the way that things are going, the trends, and you want to see it continue that way, don't vote. I mean, just, you know, sit at home. Let it go.
Yeah.
Let Governor Snyder take care of you, literally. Right. And, you know, and just let it go. You know, it's like here in Pennsylvania. If you want to see funds continue to be pulled out of schools and you want to see all the rest of this kind of stuff, don't vote. You know, just let it go. Let it go. But if you want to see improvement in your communities, if you want to beat back those people who will serve big business and big business's interests at your expense, you better get out and vote.
Exactly.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Stick around for Jim Hightower.
I love groups with the gumption to take on big tasks and do what needs to be done. Can-do groups that can and do. But uh-oh, here comes the little choo-choo that couldn't, the U.S. Congress. Since the earliest days of our U.S. of A., the most basic task of this legislative body has been to keep our national house in good repair, tending to roads, bridges, rail systems, airports, school buildings, parks, internet access, etc. Yet, with a toxic mix of anti-government ideology and fiscal foolishness, congressional Republicans have recently been blocking every serious proposal to reinvest in America's collapsing infrastructure. The result is an inexcusable drop in maintenance, even as our population has expanded dramatically and the wear and tear on all parts of the infrastructure has created disasters in the making. As one senator says of our increasingly ramshackle house, I've been here 7.5 years. We have not solved one single problem. It's just so frustrating. That was no tax and spend liberal Democrat talking. It was a penny-pinching Republican, Bob Corker of Tennessee. Indeed, it was not that long ago that most Republicans understood and funded infrastructure, from Lincoln to Teddy Roosevelt to Ike and even Reagan, who called such common sense maintenance, quote, an investment in tomorrow that we must make today. Gail Collins, the superbly sensible New York Times columnist, recently noted that in a perfect world, Congress would figure out a serious long-term plan to fix bridges, etc. Yes, but I would amend her observation with this. It shouldn't take a perfect world. Even a Congress in a halfway mediocre world ought to be able to do that job. This is Jim Hightower saying, actually, thanks to the GOP, Congress is not the little choo-choo that couldn't. It's the choo-choo that could, but won't.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent, 1 in 260,000. The odds of him having 15 career NASCAR victories, 1 in 1.7 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge. Right now we're talking with Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, brother. We enjoy participating and getting the message out to working men and women.
Absolutely. You know, and it's important to get the message out, but, you know, we could talk about it all day long. And what we need to do, what we need to get, are people going from thinking about it, from talking about it, to doing something about it.
Exactly.
And that's the $64 answer. And
you have to work right up till 8 o'clock on Tuesday night.
Right. And those people that are they're going to say, and I have to tell you, you know, in Michigan, Michael Johnson. You know, he lost by 16 votes out of 10,000, 12,000.
Yeah.
You know, really? Your vote does count. And if you want to make a positive contribution, an affirmative, affirming action for your community, go vote. You know, I mean.
All you can do.
Buck, I have to tell you, the ability to vote in this country is just awe-inspiring. It is.
We
have forgotten why we are now a country 240-some years later. We have forgotten that. We fought against a monarchy and won. And we declared our independence. And we have gone through our own growth pains and fits and starts and all the rest of it. This is a wonderful country. We are the envy of the world. We have things that other people can only dream of. And the right to vote, the right to influence your future and your community is inspiring. Look at what's going on in China. There are young men and women and not so young men and women up in arms in China, in Hong Kong, because the government wants to come in and tell them who their pre-selected candidates are going to be. Pretty serious.
That's That's exactly it, Charles. A democracy oftentimes can be messy, but it sure is better than the alternative.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can make sausage or you can go hungry. I'm going to make sausage. And, you know, and that's what we're talking about here. And it's not pretty. And I am sorry. I don't care if you're left of the aisle, right of the aisle, down the middle. If you really, really, really believe that this country needs ID for everybody voting, because there's this massive conspiracy of people impersonating somebody else at the voting booth, you need to stop listening to Rush Limbaugh. Really?
Did you hear that one, Charles?
No.
The 93-year-old guy in Texas who was turned away from voting because his driver's license would expire. He had to quit driving because he obviously was 93, had some physical impairments, and so they wouldn't allow him to vote because his driver's license was expired.
Right. Imagine that. Okay? I mean, you know, and imagine, you know, the guy was probably a veteran, too. You know? Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, this silliness and this, it's just beyond the pale. And this is a deliberate and willful attempt to do exactly what Mike Terzai wanted to do. Voter ID so Mitt Romney wins the state of Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
It was not voter ID to protect the ballot box. It was not voter ID to protect the election. It was voter ID so Mitt Romney wins the state of Pennsylvania. And Mike Terzai, I got to tell you, dude, I have to apologize to people all over the country because of you. And this is a conspiracy. And quite frankly, I think people should spend time in jail because they come up with this cockamamie stuff. And those people that are saying, oh, well, you know, I don't think those younger folks should vote because they don't know how to do it right. Or women shouldn't vote because they don't know how to do it right. Shame on you.
That's exactly right.
And if you,
you know what, one of the things, Charles, I was looking at my wife has an absentee ballot, and one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we touched on today, especially in Michigan, and you know, and I would say it's even important to even when you have people in the White House, but at the bottom of the ballot are your candidates for Supreme Court, and we need to look at that because, as you know, the laws and all the things that are done are usually upheld or dismissed by the Supreme Court. And you have to go all the way down the ballot and make sure you vote for Richard Bernstein. He's perhaps one of the best candidates we have in a while for the Supreme Court. So I wanted to make sure that I got that in. So, and I'm sure that every state ballot is the same way. And I think in that you have to go down to the end of the ballot to make sure you vote for the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And I just want to say this, Buck. You know and I know, I'm not telling you who to vote for. You're not telling people who to vote for. We're just trying to get you out to vote. And that's the difference. We want people to participate. We want to expand it. We want to make it easier. We want to make more or have more people participate in the process. Unfortunately, there are people out there that will do anything and everything that they can to try and intimidate people, to try and make it as difficult as possible, and to try and make it, you know, just so people give up, they throw their hands up, and they walk away.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why there's so many, and it's a shame that you can, everything you read about it, the angry voter and the people that are mad or anti-incumbent or anti-democratic or anti-Republican, and it's really, you know, we're at a crossroads here where, you know, when people are saying, think of how bad it must feel if you have to go into the voting booth and you have to vote for someone you don't like. So that's why it's imperative that, you know, that we make it easier for people to vote. We, you know, do things for our veterans, and we do things for the middle class to reinstate. You know, the happiness of democracy is right at crossroads here, and I think this is the key election. Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. And you're a guy who gets elected every couple of years in the state of Michigan. And, Buck, I got to say, your township's in good hands, that's for sure. We appreciate your efforts And we're going to continue.
You know, one thing, if I could, Charles, just for a moment. Locally here, there's a couple of things, that, especially in the Grand Rapids proper, that are important. And the two of them are, one issue on the ballot is term limits for the mayor and city council.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is there's a millage to take care of our veterans. So those are two key things that are going to be down on the other side of your ballot to make sure that you get out and vote on. Like I said, whether you agree with term limits or not, or you know, that's an argument that goes back and forth both ways. But it's important that we mark to take our opportunity to vote for either. And you know how I feel about veterans millage. So
yeah.
Make sure that you, if you have an absentee ballot or if you're going to get one, make sure that you vote on those local issues.
Absolutely. We appreciate it very much, Buck, and we will talk to you again very soon. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Stick around for Doug Cunningham and Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. United Teachers Los Angeles has added faculty at another charter school to the union ranks. 59 teachers and other faculty at Port Los Angeles High School in San Pedro organized a union at the charter school. 86% of them signed an open letter to the charter school board, and a petition was filed Tuesday with the California State Public Employment Relations Board seeking recognition of United Teachers Los Angeles at that school. UTLA represents more than 900 educators at charter schools in the Los Angeles area. A new report from the Center for Popular Democracy says Mayor Rahm Emanuel's minimum wage ordinance for Chicago largely leaves out women and people of color. No half measures. Why it will take $15 to raise Chicago says that domestic workers are left out completely, and tipped workers won't get the $13 an hour backed by the mayor either. The Raise Chicago $15 an hour minimum wage proposal does include domestic workers and gives tipped workers 70% of that minimum wage. The report says the $13 an hour minimum wage increase would leave out at least 13,000 low-wage African-American workers in Chicago and 20,000 low-wage Latinos. Skilled workers at Lawrence Livermore National Lab are considering strike action in the wake of management refusing to bargain in good faith on a new labor contract. After more than a year of attempted negotiations, the members of UPTE-CWA say that there are several unresolved issues, including four unfair labor practice charges filed against lab management. The lab workers have safety concerns as well because they say trained employees are in some cases being replaced by outside contractors unfamiliar with safety and security at the lab. The workers say maintenance procedures are grossly inadequate, and they say some members have lost as much as $10 per hour for years of work due to management's highly questionable accounting practices. The union is demanding that Lawrence Livermore National Lab stop violating labor law and bargain in good faith. If that doesn't happen, the union says, a strike could happen. A group of 100 ministers from throughout the state of Mississippi is calling on Nissan to allow a fair union vote for workers at the Canton, Mississippi plant. More than 6,000 people work there. The clergy group held a prayer vigil at the plant on Tuesday. The clergy members say that Nissan is using anti-union intimidation tactics against workers who want to join the United Auto Workers Union. And they say Nissan is also suggesting that if the workers unionize, the plant will move elsewhere.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.